Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Do it or die now. Stand your ground.
Welcome back. 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. That's a lot of rhythm section coming back with our anthem. If there ever was a small business anthem, that's it. Even when times get rough and you've had enough, you still got to try. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the new book, The Age of the Customer. The website for that is ageofthecustomer.com. I hope you check out that website and read about, learn about my new book. I promise you, you'll learn some stuff, and I hope you'll like it. And you can buy the electronic and the hardback version there on my website, and find how to buy it from Amazon and other outlets. Mitchell Gold is here. I bet Mitchell knows all about that the what I call the small business anthem. Even when times get tough, Mitchell, you still got to try, don't you?
Absolutely. Mitchell Gold. Sometimes to reinvent yourself or to really let your business evolve in a different direction.
I was telling somebody yesterday that in my life, in my long, multi-decade career, I've reinvented myself about 7 times. And I tried to improve myself from each one of those. Mitchell Gold, folks, is the co-founder and the chairman of Mitchell Gold, Bob Williams Furniture Company. They make and sell furniture in a really tough industry. Customers are fickle, aren't they, Mitchell?
Yeah, they are. There's not the kind of customer brand loyalty that there used to be when I was growing up. My parents had certain stores they went to, and they went and bought everything in those stores. But our effort is to make the shopping experience really pleasant and enjoyable, because buying furniture is an anxiety-ridden purchase. I mean, people really get a lot of anxiety over making a decision. Because, you know, when you buy a shirt, if you don't like it, just put it in your closet. But you buy a sofa, it's right there in the middle of the place.
Right.
And today, our business has evolved from, we don't just make furniture anymore, although we have a big 650,000 square foot facility in North Carolina making upholstered furniture. But we have our own retail stores. We'll, by the end of the year, have 25 of our own retail stores.
You have, oh, really? I didn't know that. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I say congratulations, but I'm not sure that that's appropriate, because retail can be, the only thing that's tougher than manufacturing is retail, right?
Well, it is very tough, but, I mean, heck, being a doctor is tough. And, it's really having to deal with those things. But one of the things that we found more than 10 years ago was we had to reinvent ourselves in a sense. We had to evolve, and we started to realize that if we had our own stores, our own branded stores with our name on it, built our brand, we would have more job security for all of our employees and for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And consumers, our brand really resonated with them, because they liked us as a company. They liked our quality. They liked our styling. They liked the way we run our business. We have a fantastic daycare at our company, 77 children in it.
And those are values that people, and this is something I talk about in my book, Mitchell, these are values that people are attracted to today. They're making decisions about whether to hang out with a certain company or not before they even find out if they're competitive. They want to know if they're going to like them or not, don't they?
Well, and absolutely, and one of the other things is, from day one, we started manufacturing in an environmentally responsible way in an industry that was not environmentally responsible.
Right, right.
And we found really quickly that that was resonating with people, and today that's a big, big issue. So made in America, made environmentally responsible. So now we have our own stores where we get to make sure the store looks the way we want it to look, the people who are selling, we call them design associates, that they're selling the way we want. And they really can put forth what we're doing, and now it's a very, very big part of our business. And I don't know if you know, but we have a new book also to celebrate our 25th anniversary called Who We Are. And it's kind of a scrapbook of our 25 years, but it really speaks to the ethos of the company. It really talks about, it shows our factory and our people in the factory. It shows our styling. It shows our stores. And it also shows all of the nonprofit activities that we're in. We love food. We have our company chef. I think we have probably the best cafeteria of any factory. And
I'm going to drop by at lunch over there one of these days and check it out. It sounds good. So, all right, are you selling online? Do you sell things online?
Yes, we do. At our website, mgbhome.com,
right.
And we have our catalog online. We sell furniture online. We sell our books.
Which is no mean feat, because I bought furniture online before, but I've never bought anything I was going to sit on online, because I'm pretty picky about things I buy that I'm going to sit on. I want it to be comfortable, and I don't know if it's comfortable on a website. How do you overcome that?
Well, I think one of the things is it's not an either or. It's not just having a store. It's not just having bricks and mortar. Not just having a website, but we have both.
Mm-hmm.
So usually a consumer at some point, and we have stores in all the major cities: Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, New
right.
York, et cetera. But usually at some point somebody has been able to sit in our furniture, or you know, if they haven't been able to, somehow through editorial they find out about our product, or they call and we can talk to tell them what the sit is like. And there's a 99% chance they're going to be okay with it. You know, there are people that get it and say, well, it's too soft, it's too hard.
Right.
And we just take it back because, you know, you don't want a customer to be unhappy with
it. That's what I was waiting on, that last part there. That makes a difference. You got to be prepared to do that if you're going to sell online. Hey, Mitchell, I've enjoyed having you here. Congratulations to you and Bob for 25 years of success. Come back soon. I've got more questions for you, more things I think you
okay.
can teach us.
Well, you thank you. I look forward to getting a copy of your book, too. I'm going to read it.
I appreciate that,
sounds
Mitchell.
Good.
I appreciate that. Mitchell Gold, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. We're going to get him back and see what else we can learn from him another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having our good friend John Deeney back on the show. John is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 11 years. He's the president of MPN Inc. He's the top tab boards franchisee in the galaxy. The author of a number of books, including his new book, which is the one that I'm the most jealous of, Hunting in a Farmer's World. I'm still mad at him because I didn't write that book, but he did, and he did it well, folks. And as you know, I recommend it to you. John Deeney, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back again.
Good to have you back. Hey, John, folks, besides the fact that John is a really smart guy and he's one of the best management minds in our Brain Trust, we have the benefit also of his experience with the CEOs that he works with in his roundtables and his practice with tab boards, and so we benefit from a lot of the good, the bad, and the ugly that he sees with those guys. John, thank you again for all that. Let's talk about doing the things in your business that you really love, making your business something that when you come to work, you're really excited about coming to work, not just about being an owner, but about doing the work you do.
Yeah, Jim, you know as well as I do, and it happens to both of us. We're both business owners, and we talk offline about the challenges of running a business.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us get into a business because it's something we love, whether we're technicians and we love doing the thing that generates the revenue, or whether
right.
we just love putting people and resources together and making things happen and satisfying customers. Small business owners are passionate about what they do. And we tend to get bogged down over time because we have to do the reports and we have to do the financials and we
mm-hmm.
have to do performance reviews and we have to do all those management tasks
mm-hmm.
that are required to run a decent business. And
I call it the diaper changing jobs.
Right, the diaper changing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people who are reading my book, I'm getting quite a bit of feedback from people that say, all our management meetings now, we talk about hunters and farmers,
mm-hmm.
hunters and farmers. You know, is that a hunting task or a farming task? And it really is a great way to break down the things you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a hunter, you know, frequently people get fatigued about business. You talk to the owners. I certainly talk to many owners that go, gosh, you know, it's running this business is becoming such a drag. It's not nearly as much fun as when I was just out doing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's because they watch the time that they spend on their passion erode away.
Right.
And it used to be 75 or 80% of what they did, and one day they wake up and they realize they're doing the fun stuff 20% of the time,
but they hit it in their head. They get it in their head that this is what is required of them, instead of realizing that they're allowing that erosion to happen. Right?
Sure. And there's a whole list of business axioms. You know, the employees you know, watch what you watch, manage what you measure, you know, run it by the numbers, know your metrics, what are your KPIs, and those are all useful things in running a business, but they're not necessarily the things the owner should be concentrating on generating. He or she just needs to look at them, not create them. And management books, and this is why my book is different as far as taking an owner's perspective versus a manager's perspective. Management books are just that. They're about managing, and they're usually written about large organizations where somebody's job is to manage, not to create, not to decide where the company is going.
And there are many levels below the CEO.
Yes, and, you know, I tell people frequently, I coach people that have 2 employees, and I coach people that have 2,000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't put them in peer groups together because the small business owner that has 2 employees says, how do you get that done? Or how can I possibly make that happen? And the one that has 2,000 says, well, you tell the guy to tell the guy to tell the guy that's responsible for that to go do it.
And, right.
You know, we don't have that luxury when you're running a small business.
Right. Well, when you're a small business owner, you have to be like the god Janus. You know, that has two sides, right? And,
sure.
And on the same being, you got the manager on one side, and you got the CEO on the other side. You have to be able to do both of those. And we're going to get John to help us some more with this. You know, this is a topic I love, folks. You know how much how important I think it is for you to not only be a good manager, but to be able to step out of that role long enough to be the CEO of your company. And that's what John's talking about. Hunting in a Farmer's World. John Deeney and I will be right back.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem. But it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Since you've been gone,
special bringing us back 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, ageofthecustomer.com. Hope you check out both of those out and use them to your advantage. I promise you, either one of those sites will help you to be successful in your business. We got a great friend here. John Deaney's with us right now, a longtime Brain Trust member, the author of Hunting in a Farmer's World, Celebrating the Mind of an Entrepreneur, folks. I promise you, this is one of the two most important books you can read right now. And I got to put it on top because it was here first. John, thank you again for being here. Congratulations on the book. I know it's doing great, being successful. I'm not the least bit surprised. John, we're talking about, you've been talking to us about making sure that when we run our business, as we run our businesses, we continue to find a way to be excited about going to work. And one of the ways to do that is to migrate our responsibilities toward the things that we love doing and find a way to let other people do the things that we don't love to do, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, keeping with that hunting and farming theme, if you make a list of the things you enjoy.
Farmers are managers. Hunters are entrepreneurs and CEO, that kind of thing.
And leaders, right?
And leaders, right, okay.
And, you know, if you make a list of the things you enjoy. Now, there are some people, you know, I know folks that run successful engineering firms, and you know, they're truly farmers. They like engineering, and they prefer mm-hmm. to do the engineering, and you can still be successful that way. But for most entrepreneurs, when they make a list of what they like, what they're passionate about, it's sales, it's customer contact, it's developing new products or new services, it's out introducing their company to the market. And over in the right-hand column is the list of stuff that you have to do, generating right. reports and tracking things. And if they list those out, it becomes pretty plain whether you're a hunter or a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are hunters. You know, mm-hmm. only 3% of us are business owners, and we create almost 2/3 of the new jobs in the United
right.
States. And that pretty much is the role of the hunter for the last 7,000 or 8,000 years. And if you make those lists, what you can delegate or what you should delegate becomes pretty apparent. Now, as you said about the god Janus and his two faces, small business owners have to be utility infielders.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to play lots of positions.
Literally turn on a dime, though. I mean, like almost in mid-sentence, sometimes we have to go from, you know, we have to do an about-face. We stand here and we take care of a management issue and we do an about-face, and there's an executive issue looking at us.
Absolutely, and most of us are successful because we're able to do that. And,
yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that influenced me a lot was Tom Harmon's book back in the early 90s, about attention deficit disorder, which people mm-hmm. know is the Hunting and Farmer's book,
right.
because we can change on a dime, and we can devote our attention to a completely different issue in a very short time frame between problems. But when you make that list of farming tasks that you don't care for and that you procrastinate, you put them off, you
mm-hmm.
don't do them as you need to do them, you've also made a list of the stuff that can be delegated to the farmers in your organization.
That's right.
And they usually are repetitive. They merely require training. They're important. Certainly they're important or you wouldn't be doing them.
And there are some people who were born to do those jobs, meaning that's what they love.
They like it.
They don't want to do what you love to do. They want to do this job, this repetitive job. They take great pride and ownership in those things, and that's why God made these jobs for them, right?
Right, and if you're a hunter and they're a farmer, they're probably more accurate than you. They're probably
right.
more concerned with the detail than you, and they're more likely to get it on time, done,
that's right.
done on
not
time than you are.
Yep, absolutely.
Right.
But, you know, the other thing we have to point out, John, is that just because you don't like doing a job doesn't mean that you can delegate it. Sometimes there are things that you don't like doing that, at least for now, you can't delegate. I mean, that's the tough part about being a small business owner is you're still, even if you get really good at delegating, and even if you do learn how to be more of, you know, a little bit more of a CEO than you have been, there's still going to be things you're going to have to do that you don't like, at least for a while, right?
Oh, true. And there's a difference between delegating and abdicating. You can't just throw it over the wall. Well, you can't throw something over the wall and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Delegation means you keep a finger on it. You look at the results. You still spend some time. But if you take what we said in the first segment about, you know, say you've been whittled down to 20% of your time doing what you love to grow the company. If you could get that to 40%, what would happen to your company? If you could spend twice as much time out doing the creative business development things, the customer contact, the vendor development that you love, or new products or new services, what would happen to your company if you could double your efforts in that area?
Let me say that another way. If you can find a way to be more of an executive, more of the time in your business, you're going to find that those annoying things that you don't like to do, because some of them may be because you're having to redo something, some of them will just go away because your management or your foresight, your planning has eliminated them.
Right, or your revenue is growing and you can afford more people to do
bingo.
Them.
Bingo, bingo. And that's the beauty of a free market economy, isn't it? And that's the problem we got right now in America, John, is so many people in Washington, D.C. don't understand what you just said.
Well, I think there's no appreciation for the work of small business in this economy right now.
There's no question about that. Hold on to that thought. John, give us your website, please.
JohnFDeeney.com.
Hey, find out all about the book there, too, right?
Yes, the book is there, and the other work we do is all lined up, and there's plenty of links.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame. Thanks for listening.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions, from recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
7 till the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend John Deaney. How many times have I said that name over the last 11 or 12 years? A lot of times, I'm happy to say. John is a TAB Board's leader. Alternative Board is the name of that organization he's a part of. He helps dozens and dozens and dozens of CEOs grow their businesses and has done this over the years for so many people. He's the author of his new book is called Hunting in a Farmer's World. And folks, I promise you, you will thank me if you buy this book and read it. So check that out wherever books are sold. JohnFDeaney.com, right, John?
That's right. No punctuation, just all together.
JohnFDeaney.com, D-I-N-I. Hey, John, take us out with some more thoughts on how to be more of a hunter and less of a manager when it's appropriate.
Let's talk about delegation just for a second, because if you have a number of employees, you're going to have some people in your organization that are hunters as well. They may not be inclined to own their own business. They may have family obligations, all the things that you put at risk when you went into business for yourself.
Right.
But they're still hunters.
I call them entrepreneurial employees. They want to take risks, but they want to do it with your money.
Sure. Yeah. And when they make a mistake, like my friend Larry Linney says, it's their fault, but it's your consequence.
That's right.
But, you know, when you're delegating, don't delegate to somebody just because they answer to you. So if you have a great salesman and he's out there all day long and he's hunting and hunting and hunting and it's what he lives for, you're not doing him or yourself any favor by saying, hey, good news, congratulations, I'm going to let you start preparing all the sales reports and the sales metrics, because, you know, that shows how much confidence I have in you. He's going to hate it as much as you do, and he's not going to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about hunting tasks and farming tasks have to be given to farmers. You don't want to start taking your hunters and making them into farmers by loading them up with the stuff that you don't like, because it's not going to be done any better and it's not going to help.
How do you figure out if someone's a hunter or a farmer? How do you determine that?
Oh, I think that's pretty plain. I think, you know, hunters are creative problem solvers. They come to you with answers rather than
questions. They take initiative. If they find a problem, they don't just bring you the problem, they bring you at least a solution.
Yes, and it may not be great, and they may make a mistake or two, but that's just the cost of bringing them up to speed. But, you know, when you start, they're the people in your organization that you say, okay, I need this done, and I think what you should do first, and they look at you and say, I can figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need a step-by-step. You know, and other employees will come to you and say, you know, you'll give them an assignment. I'd like you to figure out how to do this. And it'll be a week or two later, and you say, how are you coming on that? And they go, well, you know, I haven't quite decided the approach.
That's a farmer.
I'm not really
That's
sure.
a farmer.
That's a farmer.
This is how you discover this, folks. And one of the things I've done, John, over the years is say, look, don't bring me up. If you identify a problem, something that's frustrating you or whatever, don't bring me the problem unless you've thought about it enough to also include some kind of a suggestion for a solution. Even don't worry that it may not be the one we use. Don't worry that it's not perfect, but make sure you bring me some kind of a solution. The farmers will, the hunters will do that. The farmers, if they do it, it'll take them longer, like you were saying.
Yeah,
pick them out. That's how you segregate them. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, is there? Because what you're going to accomplish when you find this out is you're going to accomplish making your employees happier.
Right. One of my longtime TAB members, I've worked with him for 12 years now, has two ceramic jars on his desk. One says questions and one says answers. If you come in with a question, you have to put a nickel in the jar. If you come in with an answer, you get to take a quarter out of the other jar.
That's pretty good.
And, you know, there are some people that are happy to put nickels in all day long.
All day long,
they
yeah.
don't want to do the answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And folks, and this is what you got to decide, you know, who's going to be, you got to make sure you got farmers and farmer jobs and hunters jobs. But then you got to make sure that you have the right mix, right? Because sometimes you got too many farmers, and you need more hunters. You got to make some changes. Hey, John, I need your website again, please.
J John F. Deeney, DINI.com.
Can they find out all about the new book, Hunting in the Farmer's World, there?
Yes, they can. They can buy it there or my other books and see what we do in the consulting world.
Check it out, folks. You'll be glad you did. Thanks, John, for being here. Come back soon.
Thanks so much, Jim. Great
John
to talk to
Deeney,
you.
John Deeney, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. He'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blessingham, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection. Stay with me.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show with your host, Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate Show is presented by Insperity, dedicated to helping businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money. And now, the man who creates more multimedia small business information than any other human on the planet.
With classified information like this, I demand the cone of silence.
The intergalactic man of mystery, Jim Blasingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining us wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're hanging out with us. We've got a great show lined up for you straight ahead. We got some got a new friend and an old friend joining us this hour. I love that kind of a mix. We get to meet somebody that we've known for a long time. In this case, in the form of Joel Barker, one of the great futurists of our time. And so we got Joel coming up in the second half of the hour. He's the old friend. And he's got several things that he wants to tell us about. You know, as Joel has joined us over the years, now coming up on 8 years, as he's joined us, he's been bringing us things to look at from the future, things to consider that were going to be coming at us from the future. Well, now after 8 years, several of the things that he forecast, that he told us to start paying attention to, several of those things have come to pass. For example, 3D printing. He was talking to us about 3D printing. That's one of the first things he ever talked to us about. Now, 3D printing is fairly commonplace. It's going to be a part of your world, part of your life, your everyday life before too long, probably. So always look forward to having Joel back on the show. He's got several things. We're going to talk about some science stuff. We're going to talk about some environmental stuff. We're going to talk about some things that help human beings, and so that's coming up. Also, a way to keep your beer cold in the proper temperature. How about that? That's pretty useful. So that's coming up right after in the second half of the hour. But first, the new friend, David Howitt, is going to be here. He's the author of the new book, Heed Your Call, Integrating Myth, Science, and Spirituality and Business. He says entrepreneurs are heroes. And I agree with him. We're going to talk about that right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I promise. I'll be right back. Started walking, couldn't stop,
turning it over. Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem. But it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back, 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. David Howitt is here, ladies and gentlemen. David is a new friend. He is the founder of Meriwether Group, the author of a new book, Heed Your Call, Integrating Myth, Science, Spirituality, and Business. And he's our new friend, David Howitt. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
Good to have you here. Congratulations on the book. Integrating Myth, Science, Spirituality, and Business. That's a tall order, David. Tell us about that.
Thanks, and thanks again for having me. So, yeah, you know, as a person who has been a businessman and as someone who also has a personal desire to have a life of more meaning and purpose and integrity, I really wanted to try to write about how we could integrate the two. And what I found, Jim, was there's one central language. We might use different words, we may have different phrases, but we really point at the same thing. Whether you're looking at mythology and the great stories, or you're looking at the various spiritual practices in the world, mm-hmm. or even art and science, they really point to some basic constructs, and all those constructs can be used in life and in business.
All right, give us an example of what that would sound like.
Yeah, so let me give you one example. I mean, maybe some of your listeners have read or heard of this book, The Secret. So in The Secret, you know, they talk a lot about the power of intention, that if we form an intention or a desire and we really focus on it, that we can manifest or make that happen. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, maybe including me, that's a neat concept, but it's a little bit out there. It's a little bit woo-woo-ish, you know? And so what I've tried to write about in the book is that, you know, you can look at that concept in other ways. Like, for instance, in physics, you know, in science, there's something called the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle, which says that the viewer, the observer, us, that we actually play a role in what it is we see. That we can, in some ways, co-create reality, co-create our observations in the world. Then I look at business, and I look at a company like Oregon Chai, which was a company my wife and I started back in the 90s, and really I can apply that concept of manifesting or the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle to some of what we did in order to make that business successful.
All right. Now, to a lot of people, you're still a little woo-woo-ish here.
I understand.
So bring it back down to earth for us.
Okay, so let's say that you're working in a job that you don't love and you're feeling a little bit frustrated or maybe even sad at times, kind of feeling
you mean,
like...
You mean like millions of people are.
Like
there.
Millions and millions
even
of us.
Even as we speak.
Including me, you know. So I grew up in a home believing I had to be a lawyer or a doctor or an executive. And, of course, I followed the path of becoming a lawyer, which I did, mm-hmm. went to all the years of school, got the big job in the big law firm, which, you know, I had always believed would equate to happiness.
And make you happy, right?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I woke up and I thought, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm real unhappy, and this is a problem. What do I do now? You know, everyone.
See, this is the word. All the things that you said earlier, you talked about the common thread, the common language, the common constructs. To me, the one word that cuts across all those boundaries is happiness.
Absolutely. And the book, Heed Your Call, lays out in basic terms ways that someone can be happy and prosperous. We don't have to choose, Jim. We don't have to choose happiness over prosperity.
Right.
So, you know, this...
Well,
this,
especially if you've learned how to define success in a healthy way, David. That's what I think.
Very well said.
Meaning, you know, I know I have friends. All right, look, I'm the CEO of my company. It's a small business. I have people that I grew up with, that I went to school with, who are CEOs of big companies. They really have really important jobs, right? So I could look around at myself and I could say, well, Blasting Game, you didn't accomplish as much as that guy did, and you're just as smart as he was. You had the same background as he did, et cetera, et cetera. But then you got to default back to how you define success.
Very well said.
I have to look around myself and say, okay, but would that make me happier than what I am now? Isn't that the key?
That is absolutely the key, Jim. We all need to stop and really get in touch with our own inner voice, the quiet voice inside that transcends what your parents told you needed to do, or your teachers told you needed to be, or your neighbors, and listen and say, hey, you know, who am I? What do I want to do in my life? And then align your actions with that.
Right.
You know, it may be that you're, working a sales job, but you always wanted to be a coach. You know, find a way to start to align your actions with that voice inside, that knowing voice inside. We all have it. It's all there. You just got to turn the cell phone off for a few minutes a day. Give yourself a chance to tap into that and then work from that place.
You know, you talked about expectations of your parents. My parents were blue-collar folks, and so they didn't really have any big expectations for me. They didn't really know how to, you know, in my age, they didn't really, you know, they would have been happy if I'd became a lawyer or a doctor or an executive. Either way, they didn't really say you should do this or you should do that. But here's one thing they did teach me that I think is a companion to this happiness thing. And they taught me not by telling me, but by showing me. And that is that all work and all contribution is noble.
That was very wise of them and a gift that they gave you. And
it was the greatest blessing they ever gave me because...
It's right.
If you can... So back to the example, you know, you and me looking around saying, okay, you know, have we achieved what we should have achieved? The question is never mind whether you think you should have been doing this other job. If you're happy doing what you're doing and you're contributing and you're being productive, that's noble.
It's very noble.
And the other job is no more noble than yours.
That's right. And what my research found, and is shown in the book, Heed Your Call, is that when we follow the things that make us happy and that challenge us and make us feel like we're contributing, not only is it noble, and not only will we have healthier and happier lives, but we play a role in repairing the world. That when enough of us work from a place of our alignment with our soul, alignment with what it is we really should be doing in this life, that it has a globally positive effect, not just a personal effect.
You just described small business owners, David.
You nailed it. And
you
that's why in the book, Heed Your Call.
As a group, we create over half the economy, and yet most small business owners wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say, "Do I matter at all?"
Yes, absolutely agree with you.
And that's
why in Heed Your Call we refer to the small business owner as the modern day hero.
And that's one of the reasons why you're here. That resonated with us, David Howitt, ladies and gentlemen. His book is called Heed Your Call. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with me.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Little John Mellencamp bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the small business advocate, the one and only. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's what you can find all the things that we do here on the show and all my writing and all of my Brain Trust members right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to find out more about my book, go to ageofthecustomer.com. Check that out there, and you can find out more about the book, what other people are saying about it, and how to buy it as well. David Howard is here, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, but we're going to fix that. He's going to become an old friend, I can promise you, because he's got a lot more to teach us. He's the founder, the CEO of Merriweather Group, the author of a new book called Heed Your Call, folks, which I promise you, when you read this book, you will see yourself, and you will feel better about yourself. David, thank you for that. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jim. Really appreciate that.
I can tell, you know, just by having the book in my hand and looking at it and haven't read it all yet, but also in hearing you talk about it, folks, this what David talks about in the book is what I encourage you all the time to do, and that's to value yourself. That's isn't that a big part of this is to value value yourself.
Huge, Jim, huge. And it's true, every single one of us, all of your listeners, every one of them out there is an important, critical piece of the world. Each one of us is a hero. We have the opportunity to live our lives as a hero. That doesn't mean you got to go out and make $1 million. It might mean that, but you can approach life from the place of what is your heroic journey? What am I supposed to be doing? And how do I do it? And the book lays out 11 constructs. And I wanted to say, Jim, and these are constructs that I have seen, I have used in the world. They're not theories. Mm-hmm. They're not just, kind of out there things. But these are things that I see business owners, the businesses we advise and invest in, and the businesses we've start and grown. I've seen these constructs used, and they allow people to live heroic lives, to matter, as you put it, and then to have a lot of happiness and abundance along the way.
You know, it's interesting that in the last hour, I used the example of Janus. I talked about Janus, the god of two faces.
Yeah.
In the last hour,
where I talked about the fact that a small business owner has to be like that. One face is the manager and the other face is the CEO.
Absolutely.
And the two different jobs. Tell us about what you, when you talk about Janus and your, you called it the Janus, our Janus nature. Tell us about
that. Yes. Yeah. So each of us has the ability, and I would say responsibility, of being both sort of traditional left brain people and mm-hmm. traditional right brain. And Jim, what I mean by that is, unfortunately, we're taught often in schools and in our communities that you have to choose, that you're either going to be the creative, artistic, empathetic, and intuitive right. artist, or you're going to be the number crunching,
the linear engineer,
CEO, executive. Mm-hmm. And the reality is the world needs us to be both. You know, we need to be people who get up in the morning and set an alarm clock and, you know, balance our checkbook and go to work and understand best practices and profit and loss. But we also need to be poets and artists and creatives. And
that's why being a small business owner is so hard.
Because
one day or one hour you have to be the manager. The next hour you need to be able to drop into the CEO role or to rise,
yes.
I should say, rise up to the CEO role. Whereas the CEO of a big corporation, you know, in any given cycle, the corporation needs a bean counter for 5 years, and then they get rid of the bean counter, they bring in a merchant, right?
And Jim, that's why I'm saying the new world requires big businesses to act more like small businesses.
Yes,
where you
got to
wear lots of hats at any given time.
I completely agree, and I think that's part of the dysfunction of major corporations, not only in their marketplace, but also with their people today. What do you think?
I 100% agree with you. I think we put people in boxes, and we tell them what they need to do, and then we tell them don't do anything else. But the reality is, if you could bring creativity and intuition and empathy alongside your linear
right.
smarts, you're going to be better at what you do, and you're going to be happier.
And you're not going to create the casualty list that we're seeing these days.
We are, and we're seeing people with these big compensation packages, and then they get fired with all sorts of severance payouts,
yep.
and it's broken. We got to put real human beings, the types of people that listen to your show every day, Jim, that take your advice, they need to be the people that start to rise up and run businesses and drive our society, and they bring the best of both, left brain and right brain,
mm-hmm.
artistry and intellect into the world every day.
Right, exactly. That's well said. And folks, that's the kind of thing you're going to find in David's book, and I encourage you to check it out. It's available wherever books are sold, right, David?
It is. You can go on to Amazon.com and get Heed Your Call or any other place where books are sold. You can also go to heedyourcall.com. You're welcome to go to my business, which is themerryweathergroup.com. We work with all sorts of companies, big and small. We help them accelerate and grow in a way that creates a lot of abundance, but also is in line with the purpose and the meaning behind the business.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you say that that's your focus, because, see, that's what small business owners instinctively want to do. But I think that they're so busy, you know, trying to survive, that sometimes I think that they forget that, you know, that their real goal in doing what they're doing was to find meaning, as you say, in happiness.
Absolutely. If it doesn't have meaning and happiness, doesn't matter how much money you make, it isn't what we need to be doing.
Absolutely. Well said. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Come back soon.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Have a great day.
David Howitt, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, the book is called Heed Your Call. Available wherever books are sold. I promise you, you'll like it.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.